we're so blessed with that singing by faith. As a Christian, we are walk by faith and not by sight. We are walking with the eyes toward heaven, because when we walk our eyes toward in this world, we will be distracted and we will be out of focus. And also the song said, there is no name that the people will save only by the name of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I will not keep you long. First of all, I just have a limited English. So I hope that before it gone, I will preach what the Lord has stored in my heart. So if you have your Bible, please turn it to the book of Romans. I will read it in the Bible that I am holding. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 16. And if you are able, can I ask you to please stand as we read? Just follow along with the verses that I have this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 16 to 17. The Bible says, just follow with the Bible that you have, 14. So Paul is speaking to the Christian in Rome. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first, also to the Greeks. Last verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. May you now be seated. Thank you. Shall we pray? Our God, our Creator, a loving God, our Savior, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to wake up, to sing for your glory, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Although we have brethren that are passed away, but Lord, we know that the people will accept you as Lord and personal Savior, they are now in good hands. But Lord, we pray for the people that he left. Lord, I pray for the comfort. May you give her the wisdom, the needs also. Lord, we pray that encourage us this morning. As I deliver your word, O God, I pray for the power. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you teach us about thy word. Lord, may you open their eyes. May you open our hearts to receive the blessing from thy word. Lord, I pray that you use me as instrument to share what the word of God is stored in my house, in my heart. Lord, I pray that may you help me. Use me as a delivery boy to your people this morning. I pray, God, that this gospel that I'm holding on, I pray that the blessing of this gospel will be preached this morning to your people. Lord, challenge us, encourage us. If there's someone discouraged this morning, I pray that may you encourage them through your gospel. And if there's someone they are in needing of anything, Lord, I pray that you meet their needs. For I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we read this passage of Scripture, in chapter 16, the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first and to the Greeks. This morning, I will be speaking the gospel. This is the gospel that I heard 10 years ago. The gospel that I am holding on until now. That my faith I put on it until now. And this is the gospel that I want to carry when I go back home. And this is the gospel that I want to share to the people, because only the gospel will save them from hell. Only the gospel of Christ will bring them to heaven. This morning, let me share to you about this gospel that Paul is speaking. So, before Paul speak about these things. We know Paul. He's the persecutor. He said, I am. When it's come to good, he acknowledged himself is good. And then the Christian is not. When it's come to religiosity, he acknowledged himself that he is a religious man. When it comes to the law, he knew the law. That's why he persecuted Christian. But when he heard the gospel, everything changed. And the Romans written. Paul is a missionary to different country, to different area on his time. And this gospel, it's sent by God to us this morning. The reason why we are here, because we heard the gospel. It's not the reason of a pastor. It's not the reason of a church, a beautiful church. Because there's a lot of beautiful church. But a lot of people, they are not saved in there. But we thank God this morning, we heard the gospel. So this morning, I will introduce to you the theme of the gospel, the context of this gospel, and the heart of this gospel. First, the number one theme of the gospel, we can read it on the verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Jew, because God came first to the Jews. We are Gentiles. We are not Jews, so we are belong to Gentiles. But we thank God because He saved the Gentiles. His first focus is the Jews. But because the Jews, they will not accept that gospel, it comes to us. So when we read the chapter 1, verse 1 to 15, it is a greetings of Paul. This is the introductory part of his gospel. So, this chapter, this verse 16 and 17, many preachers and Bible teachers believe that these two verses are containing of most life-transforming truth that God put into man's hand. Some of the good teachers, Bible preachers, they believe that these two verses is the most powerful transforming life verse. Most life-transforming that God put into man's hand. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So, as we go back to Paul, he persecuted the Christian. So, if there's somebody will ashamed, he is. Because he is the one who persecuted Christian. But when we read this, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is saying that he is very proud of the gospel. And today, many of the Christians, they don't proud about the gospel. Sometimes we are controlled, the world controls us, that sometimes we can't open our mouth to share the gospel. Sometimes our community will hinder us to preach the gospel. But Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He is proud of the gospel. Paul is very excited about the gospel. Paul is saying, I am so excited to hear the gospel. I am excited to share the gospel to these people. And we need to be excited about the gospel this morning. Paul is saying that he is very proud, saying that Paul is willing to preach. We can read it in this verse, that he is willing to preach the gospel to the place of Rome. It's far. You know what? In their time, they don't have airplane. They don't have a car that can run 100 miles per hour. They just walk. They just ride with a horse or camel. But you know what? It is so excited for him to preach the gospel. Why his attitude in response to this gospel is very different? Why he feel that way? Now we will find out as we continue study this gospel. Paul saying that he is really loved the gospel. You know what, Paul, why he is excited? Because he loved the gospel. And Christian, if we love the gospel, if we love God, we are always excited to hear the word of God. Amen? we are, you know, we don't have reason not to be excited when we love God. Even if it is far, even if it is hard, even if we cannot walk far, but because we love God, we can do it. Even if it is hardship, we can do it because we love God. We love the gospel of God. In verse 16 and 17, for it is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel as is a divine message of God. So Paul is very excited because he knows that the gospel is a divine message from God. That is the gospel. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel because he knows this gospel is the power of God for salvation. During his journey, he met the Lord on the Isle of Patmos. His thinking is to persecute Christian, to kill the Christian. Actually, before he went there, he has a lot of plans. He went to the higher position of the government and he asked for permission to kill the Christian. And if they are worshiping God, he will take them and put it into the prison. That is desire. That is heart. But when he met God on the Isle of Patmos, everything changed. Christian, if you met God in the time that you need, and in the time of God, you will be changed of the gospel. You will be changed. The gospel is the divine message which releases the power of God to transform life. I repeat, the gospel is a divine message which releases the power of God to transform life. To transform who? The sinners. To rescue him or them from the power of sin, death, and in hell. That has happened to me. I am headed to hell, but the Lord rescued me. And it happens also to you this morning that God transformed you. God changed your mind. God changed your heart. And if we love the gospel, it will continue changing our life. This is my thinking that a Christian is always under construction. Under construction of God. The God, we are thinking about good things about ourselves. We are thinking about good things that we plan in our life. But you know what? God is the one who construct it. God is the one who prove it and improve it in our life. This morning, we have friends that lost. But it's not the end of life. I shared it this morning. The pastor said, just keep fight one more round. Don't give up. Because if you give up, the devil will win. And the child of God, as a Christian, we are not lost. We are not giving him the win. Because God already win it. Sometimes the devil will discourage us of what happened, of the situation. But God said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end, our loved ones, they left us. Our friends, they separate us. Even the husband and wife, they separate. But the Lord said, I will be with you, even to the end of the world. We don't know what the ends of the world, but he said, I will be with you. And Christian, if you are struggling in life, and I'm struggling too, but when I went to the gospel of Christ, we will be encouraged. We will be encouraged. So it is the power of God to transform sinners, to transform life, to transform people. The only way that can save people is by believing the gospel. The only way that can save people is by believing the gospel, by believing our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house. It is a promise of God. It's not just stated there to just to read it, but it is a promise of God that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. And this morning, if you are watching without Christ in your heart, just believe before it's too late. God is able to save you wherever you are right now. God will save you. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, are we thinking today of our good things that can save you? Are you thinking of your education? Are you thinking of your sacrifice of being good by helping others? Are you thinking of your achievements in life by being religious people? Now, I will tell you this. Paul, as he said this verse, Paul saying, is not from that, because I am that one. Paul is very intellectual people. He is intellectual man. He is very intellectual that he trained in the foot of Gamaliel. Gamaliel is very intellectual man. He's a good teacher in his time. Maybe it compares to Harvard teachers in our time. But that time, when it comes to intellect, Paul is one of them. When it comes to religiosity, Paul is one of them. But the Paul, when we study this, Paul saying is not like that. I'm not talking about that, but he is talking about the gospel. He's not proud because he achieved a lot of things in his life, but he is proud because he heard the gospel. He is proud because he's holding the gospel. Now, do we know the gospel? Are you holding to it? Are we trusting to it? Are we believe the gospel? Have you ever experienced the gospel, the power of the gospel, by feeling that you are already delivered from sin? And if we are not delivered, trust the gospel this morning, and he can transform your life. Now, the truth about this gospel, I will share you the truth about this gospel. And one we can see about this gospel, it is for everyone. The truth about this gospel, it is for everybody. Aren't you glad that the gospel is not only for the Filipino people? Aren't you glad that the gospel is not only for African people, for Japan people, for Chinese people, for American people? The truth is, the gospel is for everybody. Everybody. To everyone that believe. We can read this verse. He said, to everyone that believe. To everyone that believe. And if we believe the gospel this morning, it is for you. The gospel is for all people. The gospel is for everybody. It's not matter where you come from. It's not matter how sinner you are. It's not matter how drunkard you are. It's not matter how drug addict you are. The gospel is for you. It is free. It is free. The gospel is free. The gospel is not only for rich people, but the gospel is free for all the people that believe. The gospel is for everybody. We cannot earn it, but we can receive it freely. The gospel is free. Whether you are Jews or Gentiles, if you believe the gospel, the gospel is free. The gospel is free. It reveals, this is the truth, another truth, that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. I talked to Pastor this morning, and he said, we talk about the life of Martin Luther. And one of his character, Martin Luther is a good man. Actually, he is the one who opposed the priest, the Catholic. He is the one who gives way to Reformation. He is the one that opened the minds about the gospel. He wrote a 99 piece and he put it under the door of Wittenberg. He is the one. And I said to Pastor, I found out that the life of Luther, that he said, he is doing a good things because he was thinking that his good doing will bring him to heaven, that his doing will meet the standard of God, because God is holy, God is righteous. And but you know, he found out that even he do a lot of things that is good in his sight, he always fall into the things that he always discourage, because he cannot reach the standard of God, the righteousness of God, that leads him to a secret, anger with God. Because he said, even though a lot of things, I've done a lot of good things, but I cannot meet your standard. God, I cannot meet it. But you know what? when he comes to this gospel, when he read this gospel, that he found out that it reveals the righteousness of God, the things that is separate from people to God is man's sin. The things that separate us from God is sin. We are sinner, and God is holy and righteous. That is separated. And if Martin Luther, he acknowledged that he is a sinner, and he cannot reach the standard of God. But when he read this, that we can reach God by the righteousness of God. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. People are thinking of heaven is through their righteousness. A lot of people think that by their righteousness, their own righteousness, they can go to heaven. I think I mentioned it the first time when I come here, that a lot of people went to hell because they are thinking that they are good. In the sense that they don't care with God because they are already good. They are already good enough. But in reality, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, they knew that they are already in hell when they die, because it is appointed unto man. But, for there is the righteousness of God reveals. It is from God, it's not through us. The righteousness is not from us. It is from God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot reach God by our own righteousness, but God show us His. The righteousness of God show His. He is the one who make us righteous by putting our righteousness, by putting our trust in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who is righteous. It will not be started from us. It is started from God. The righteousness is started from God by putting your faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not my own way, but it is the way of God. It is the only grace of God. We can reach the righteousness of God by His grace. It is only by His grace. The righteousness of God, His standard. The standard of God is perfectly conforming to God's law and holy character. Now, in this world, a lot of people doing the Ten Commandments. They are trying to be good. They are helping others. They try not to commit adultery. They try not to steal. But you know what? There is one sin in this life that we cannot avoid. In Revelation, there is one sin that all people can commit. A lie. Sometimes we call it a white lies. Sometimes we call it, it's just a little bit of lie. But when we face God, a little bit of lie is lies. A little bit of sin is sin. That is God. That is the standard of God. He is holy. Everything that is sin, it is away from God. Is perfectly conforming to the God's law and holy character. We cannot fulfill the Ten Commandments. God already knows that we cannot do that by our own. Actually, the Bible says, even we are fulfilling the law, we fulfill the nine and we commit one, we are guilty of all. True. So we cannot afford that. We cannot keep that in our mind, in our life. But that is the problem. The standard of God is very high when it comes to man. Martin Luther says that. When we think the standard of God is high, but you know what God did? He sent His only begotten Son, that those higher standard that we cannot meet, through Jesus Christ, we can meet through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not from us, because the Bible says, for all have sinned. We are all short to the glory of God. The standard of God is very glorious standard, and we cannot meet it. The Bible says, it is written, and right now, if you are watching or listening to this telecast, that you are thinking about yourself, that you are righteous, you are good enough, you are you are not committing sin, the Bible says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one in this world, even the priest, even we are not righteous. But we thank God because the gospel shows us how to be righteous in the sight of God by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. The righteousness of God is perfect. In this, we can see it in this verse. But in verse 17, we declare righteous by putting our trust in the Lord in Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness. By taking our place, the place that we cannot afford, the place that we cannot reach, the Lord Jesus Christ, take it because He loves us. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. It is the true power of God through salvation. We can receive it by faith alone. If you have faith in God, you are receiving the gospel of Christ. We cannot earn it, but we can receive it freely. God brings righteousness. The theme of the gospel again, the divine message that releases the power of God to save sinners who believe in God's way of salvation. Now, let's move on to the second, to the context of this gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Man's being sinner. So, for the sake of our time, I will not read this, the whole verses of chapter 1, 18 and 3, and going down to chapter 3, verse 20. So, if you look to it, there is a problem to a man. That this verse will tell you what is the problem of man on this verse. So, there is a problem to a man. A man is being sinners. We are sinners. Paul telling us about the bad things in these verses. So, if there is a good news, by the way, the gospel is a good news. The bad news is we are headed to hell. But there is a good news to the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel that I'm sharing you this morning. So, I will read just a little bit of this verse. I am in chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. So we can see that the wrath of God is upon us. Why? We fight against God. We do a lot of things that is against God. Sin is against God. Sin is against God. So Paul telling us that the man is sinners in this verse. The people are under the wrath of God. We are all under the wrath of God. And we need the forgiveness of God. We need the forgiveness of God. There is no excuse when it comes to the word of God. We are not excused. All the people is subject to this matter. All people is under the curse of sin. All people is under the wrath of God. They need the righteousness of God. We need the righteousness of God. And we need to be reconciled of God. As I mentioned a while ago, that the only problem that we have is we are separated from God because of our iniquity. But there is a good news again. Even there is a judgment to the people, we can see the context of the gospel is we are sinners. We commit a lot of things that is not good to the sight of God. But after that situation, after the wickedness of men, is there any hope for us? Now, Christian people, I will tell you, yes, we have hope. Now, this is the excitement. In chapter 3, verse 21, he said, but now, this two word is very important word. He said, but now, after the man is sinners, after the Lord tell us what we are in His sight, what we committed in His sight, He said, but now, Paul said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, the word but now indicates that there is something happen after the bad things. There is a change of God dealt with men. There is change indicates that hope and transition. From the hopeless situation, God put us hope to the Lord Jesus Christ. It indicates hope through the righteousness of God, through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled. The wrath of God is removed. By believing the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is removed. Now this morning, Christians, we are against God before, but we thank God when we accept the Lord as our Lord and personal Savior, the wrath of God is removed already. The judgment of God to us that when we die, we will go to hell. After we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is already removed. The judgment of God is already removed. That is our hope. That when we die, we are not worried about fire. We are not worried about the punishment. But it is our hope to enjoy the heaven of God. So, there is an enjoyment. Now, we can forgive. After we receive, we are already forgiven, declared righteous in the sight of God by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel. By believing the gospel. Now, I will tell you 5 truths about this gospel, about this chapter, this verse. First, there is a righteousness from God apart from the law. There is a good news, people. To you that are trying to fulfill the law that you cannot fulfill, there is a good news for you. In verse 21, the righteousness of God, the righteousness from God is apart from the law. So you are doing the law and you cannot do that by your own, but thank God for His righteousness because it is revealed. We need this righteousness so we can be able to stand before God. The righteousness of God that imputes to us, that it shared to us, we can stand before God. This righteousness is perfectly matched to the righteousness of God. As I mentioned a while ago, that the standard of God is very high, righteous, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be able to stand before God. The Bible says if our goodness, it will face God, it's like a rug. Whatever goodness you have, if you face the living God, if you face the righteous God, your goodness, it will turn like a rug. So we know the rug. But we thank God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness that He has, that He gave to us, we can be able to stand before God. This righteousness is perfectly matched to the standard of the living God. This is not something that is gained by observing the law, but by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the law is given. Now, Christian, the law is given to us just to show us that we are all sinners. No one will fulfill the law, but the law will tell you that we are sinners in the sight of God. We cannot fulfill that law. Second truth about this gospel, the righteousness of God is now manifested to us. It's now manifested to us. The proper term of the law and the prophets, we can read this. The law and the prophet is, when it comes to the Jews, the law and the prophet is referring to the Old Testament. The law is the book of Moses. From Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that is the law. The prophet is because they believe it. If you are writing the word of God in that time, and if you are not part of Moses, you are the prophet. That it comes to the Jews. So said, the law and the prophets. It is used by the Jews before. It refers to the scriptures. The Jews did divide the Old Testament, as I mentioned, the 5 books and the Torah. The 5 books, it calls Torah. the law of Moses. It called Torah. So they divided it into two. But here, and then the rest of the books is the New Testament, and we enjoy it. Amen. The law is indicated in the Old Testament. The law is given to show them that they cannot meet the standard of God. But for us, we thank God because the law is not for us. But the grace is for us. The grace of God that meet the standard of God, that provide righteousness from God, it is the grace that we are now. Now, the third truth about this gospel, the righteousness of God is received by faith. We thank God because the righteousness that we cannot afford, it is not earned by our own hardness, hardship, hard doing, doing good things. It is a way of man's receiving righteousness from God. Through faith in Christ, the death of Christ, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is demands of the Lord, the righteousness of God. And as I mentioned, we are not righteous. Christ paid our sin in the cross of Calvary. We thank God for the Calvary because it shows not only the love of God, but it shows the righteousness of God. Four truths about this gospel. The righteousness of God is received by the same basis. The righteousness of God, we can receive it by the same basis. With I thank God because it is not stated here that the only people that can receive righteousness is only those who are businessmen, who is in the government. But we are glad that the righteousness from God we can receive by the same basis. What's that? What is that basis that even you are poor, you are rich, you are lower in the community, you are intellectual people and not intellectual people, it is the same basis. What is that? Faith. The word faith in the Bible is a very important word because that is the only basis that we can receive the righteousness of God. The faith. The word faith. Faith alone in Christ. There is none different. The Bible says there is no difference. It means there is no distinction of receiving righteousness. There is no difference. We are all sinners. Because the same that we have, we are all sinners. According to the Bible, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all the same condition, sinners. The same condition. We are all under sin. That is with the same. That's why when we look to people, some of the people is different standard in life, different living. But when God shows us, it's the same. We are the same sinners and saved by grace. We are all. Now, I'm about to finish. This is the last. The people that receive the righteousness of God is, this is the most exciting things. First, it is justified. The people that receive the righteousness of God is justified. Here, in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. You are justified, it means declare righteous. We are not righteous in the sight of God, but because of Christ, we are justified. We are declared as righteous. Second, the people that receive the righteousness of God is redeemed. There is a redemption. We are already redeemed. What does it mean? It release. It release you from sin. It release you from all things that Satan handled you. It release you from chain about sinning. When you receive Christ, you are already released from sin. Third, and we talk, Pastor and I talk about this morning, the word propitiation. It is very important in the Word of God. It is the act of the Lord Jesus Christ being sacrificed through giving his life, shed his blood in the cross of Calvary, we are at peace with God. Because of his death, because of his blood, we are at peace of God. We are reconciled to God. So Christian, remember this. When you receive the righteousness of God, you are declared righteous. You are free. You are justified. You are released from everything that Satan will put you down. Satan will hold you of not growing, of not serving the Lord. Always remember that God's already free you to that situation. And God put his life, gave his life for you to be able to be peace with God. This is the heart of the gospel, that everyone might be saved. The heart of the gospel is the people will be saved. This is also my desire for my people, that for them one day to be saved. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it is long-suffering to us, to us ward. Now, willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's heart is for all men to come to repentance, to turn back from sin and face God, not by their own righteousness, but by believing the Lord Jesus Christ, but by putting their trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, or by giving themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, by putting what they have on the face of Christ, by trusting the gospel, because the gospel is the only way to salvation, by believing what Christ done on the cross of Calvary. This is the gospel that I share with you this morning.